Hello and welcome to The Late Debate with me, Audrey Carville. Coming up on the programme tonight, the Garda penalty points controversy hasn't gone away.
We have two people out of a force of over 13,000 who are making extraordinary serious allegations. Frankly, I think it's quite disgusting.
The whistleblowers, the politicians and the Garda commissioner gearing up for battle. All to come on The Late Debate after the news from Angus McGreena.
Good evening. New information has emerged tonight on the breakdown of salaries and potential bonuses for staff at Irish Water. The information was obtained through a parliamentary reply to Labour TD Kevin Humphreys. Our political correspondent, Martina Fitzgerald.
The information shows that of Irish Water's 310 staff, 59 came from Bord Gáis, 107 or more than a third came from local authorities, and 139 were recruited externally. Five came from the Department of Environment. All employees who came from the local authorities or the public service immediately before taking up a post were recruited through a competitive process. In terms of their salaries, 60% earn less than €70,000, 28 are on salary over 100,000, and one, presumably the chief executive, is earning over 150,000. It also emerged that performance-related bonuses will range from between 2.75% and 15%, and almost 100 staff could earn between 14 and 15% in bonuses, and a €10,500 car allowance is paid to 27 senior managers who will use their own cars. It's taxable and non-pensionable. Irish Water reiterated this evening that their model is based on the Bord Gáis model. There are no increments and a pay freeze is in place until 2016.
The chairman of the rehab group, Brian Kerr, has said the salary of its chief executive, Angela Kearns, was a matter for the board and that there has been no formal request to disclose it. He said the board would discuss the matter at a special meeting on the 17th of February. The comments come after the Taoiseach Enda Kenny called for the details of Ms. Kearns' salary to be made public. A jury has begun deliberating in the trial of a teenager charged with murdering Melanie McCarthy McNamara. The 16-year-old was shot in the head as she sat in a car in Talla on February the 8th, 2012. 19-year-old Daniel MacDonald of Brookview Lawns in Talla has pleaded not guilty to murder. The jury will resume deliberations in the morning.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Liberty Insurance. Home insurance you can rely on, whatever the weather.
Cloudy tonight with outbreaks of rain, heavy and persistent at times. Lowest temperatures of 3 to 6 degrees. There'll be further rain tomorrow morning, but a clearance to showers will follow from the west during the afternoon and evening. And highest temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees. That's all for now. We'll have news again at 11.
Angus, thank you very much indeed. You're very welcome back to The Late Debate. My guests in studio tonight are Sinn Féin TD Mary Lou MacDonald, who's a member of the Public Accounts Committee, Richie Culhan, retired Special Branch Detective Garda and currently a Fine Gael councillor in Drogheda, John Devitt is Chief Executive of Transparency International Ireland, and John Mooney is Security Correspondent with The Sunday Times. Well, the Garda Commissioner, Martin Callanan, appeared before the Public Accounts Committee this morning to answer questions about the penalty points issue. Over a year ago, independent TD Claire Daly told the Dáil that a retired Garda had given her evidence that a number of officers had cancelled penalty points for members of the public who had broken the road traffic laws. An internal Garda inquiry last year found that around 10,000 fixed penalty notices were cancelled every year over a 3.5 year period. But it did not find any evidence of criminality, corruption or deception on the Gardaí's part, but it concluded that three members of the force would face internal disciplinary measures. So fast forward to today, Mary Lou MacDonald, why is this back in the news again? Why was Martin Callanan up before your committee today?
Well, the turn of events was that one of the whistleblowers made available to the Public Accounts Committee information which it was alleged was connected to the unlawful termination of fixed penalty points, in other words, these fines. There was actually a level of correspondence between the committee and the commissioner in respect of those documents. The commissioner was quite forceful in his view that there was a breach of data protection and that the documents should be returned. the committee took legal advice and established the fact that, in fact, the whistleblower in question was well within his legal rights to hand over this documentation. So it's still in the possession of the committee. And we have seen it. It has been anonymised. It's in redacted form now because obviously there would be concerns around privacy and indeed data protection. The Commissioner had been before us on a previous occasion previously he was before us because the Comptroller and Auditor General actually carried out an investigation into this matter. And the reason why the Comptroller was interested in this was in the first instance because as the state's chief financial officer, he has to keep an eye as to whether or not monies are being lost or misappropriated from the exchequer. So that was his interest in these matters. So essentially we had two things at play today. We had the Comptroller and Auditor General's report, which did reflect the fact that a very large number of these fines had been written off, that in many cases there was not substantiating documentation that would give you the comfort of knowing that this was done strictly within the book. And on the other hand, we had the ongoing issue of the fact that we are now in possession of these documents.
And the documents, Mary Lou, are they're new documents? Is that new evidence being provided by one of the whistleblowers?
Well, I can't categorically tell you that because, of course, information has been given to other authorities. And indeed, quite aside from the initial batch of information that came to the committee, we were yesterday evening presented with more documentation that actually came through a colleague of mine, Padraig McLaughlin, who is on the Justice Committee. What we do know is that information, quite aside from the use of the internal Garda process, which I know we're going to discuss later, that material had been given to the Comptroller and Auditor General himself in July of 2012, to the Chief Executive Officer of the Road Safety Authority in August 2012, that information had gone to the Department of an Taoiseach, the Department of Transport, all from whistleblowers. I can't be certain. I simply don't know if it was all identical information. What I can say is that they all related to information held on the Pulse system, the Garda system, and all related to the cancellation of these fines.
Okay, John Mooney of the Sunday Times. John, you're welcome to the programme. You've been following this issue, this controversy from the outset. We're trying to establish here that these new boxes of evidence that have come forward and being presented to various people and various bodies, one of which to the Public Accounts Committee. Is this new documentation, new evidence that's being produced by the whistleblowers over and above that which was produced to the likes of Claire Daly and Mick Wallace last year?
My understanding is it's all pretty much the same information. It was duplicated and copied and stored and has been released at various times. I mean, it should be stated that people maybe don't understand that this whole thing has its genesis in a row that's going on for the past 4 or 5 years, that there was complaints made to the confidential recipient about Garda management practices in Cavan, particularly around Bailieborough, and there was investigations into this, and there was allegations of all different types that didn't impinge on penalty points at all by Maurice McCabe.
That's one of the whistleblowers.
He is, yeah. And it then sort of, there was various inquiries into this. The Garda Ombudsman at one stage wouldn't get involved in it because they can't have a situation where Garda are making complaints about their fellow officers. But as part of this, like, the penalty points are only one aspect to this, that there have been quite very serious allegations made against fellow officers and senior officers in the general division up there. And these have been investigated, and these are quite serious allegations. And the penalty points kind of arose from this, where there was kind of these allegations that penalty points were being deleted and struck off. So if you can maybe follow my train on this, is that what you effectively happened was that this practice, which Certainly there was criminal or corruption, maybe a loose sort of approach to deletion of penalty points within the poll system that was ongoing. It came out as part of various other allegations that mightn't have a lot of substance to them. So when I was listening, I was kind of shocked at Martin Callanan today describing some of the allegations as disgusting. I think some of that refers to some of the other allegations that have been made and subsequently disproven. But what the two officers involved did do was highlight a bigger problem within the penalty point mm-hmm. system. Now, it should be stated when you sort of look at their involvement in that, they're not material witnesses to it for a number of different reasons. Is that you have penalty points being struck off. There's obviously wrongdoing within that system, but they're not actually material witnesses to that because they're not involved in it. They just downloaded the documents on that. I was kind of, I suppose, legally kind of interested in this kind of people were there. Well, why weren't these guys interviewed? Both of the Gardaí at the centre of all of this have been interviewed countless times about various other allegations that they've made. Mm-hmm. And there's allegations made against them. They've made allegations. So it's quite a hornet's nest going on there in the background to this. But in terms of, you had this kind of problem within the penalty point system, and this has been previously highlighted historically. And then you had the Controller and Auditor General's report on it, which sort of bolstered the allegations that they were making. Mm-hmm. But again, they weren't party to it themselves. So effectively, they kind of highlighted a problem that was certainly needed to be addressed and was obviously wrong. But the other issue about this, and anyone who's familiar with this pulse system and the guards and sort of the tenets of law and how it operates, is that they don't have the ability to examine every single penalty point and deletion on it. They physically don't have the manpower to do that. Police forces are not infinite. They don't go on forever. So effectively, the samples that they did, I suppose, was one way of sort of looking at this and doing it. Now, I mean, it's very much arguable that the Garda headquarters shouldn't have really been involved in that process to begin with. They should have left it to an outside agency. The problem is the Garda Ombudsman is incapable of doing it. They don't have the resources, but they don't have the expertise either. The Garda Inspectorate is really a failed operation at this stage. It hasn't really produced any kind of worthwhile reports. It's not publicly accountable in the way the Ombudsman's office would be. So you had a situation where they investigated it themselves. And in many ways, it's the response that they gave to the findings, what they knew themselves was wrongdoing, became the problem. Mm-hmm. Insofar as they said there was, I always remember being astonished, and I think it was in here on the night, where Alan Shatter came out and spoke in the plinth. And instead of stating that we have quite clearly a problem within the penalty point system and the way the system is open to abuse, he turned around and admonished the whistleblowers and made a very, very pointed remarks at them. And that, it kind of, I suppose, started off more of a train of events in terms of people's backs were up. People were wondering why these two particular officers were being targeted, and particularly by a government minister. And it kind of emanated from there.
OK. Well, let's go back to today's hearing and Commissioner Callanan. And again, just in terms of the substantive point, whether or not penalty points, penalty notices were cancelled, he again said, repeated what was in Assistant Commissioner John O'Mahony's report, not you, John, which said that less than 5% of penalty points were quashed. And Commissioner Callanan gave this example to the committee.
And we'll have seen, for example, excuses such as bees worrying livestock or words that effect. And at first glance, you know, you look at that and you could almost be entertained by it. But I looked at the letter and the documentation behind that particular notice. But this was a person who was engaged in voluntary work, very substantial voluntary work on behalf of the community, who happened to be a beekeeper. And his wife telephoned him when he was out attending to that voluntary work and told him that the bees, in her view, were out of control. So there was a need to get back to the house quickly and bring matters under control because there were livestock and people in close proximity. And he was caught speeding, I think, somewhere in the region of 9 kilometres over the speed limit. A man that had been driving for many, many years, a man that had never transgressed. So all of these things are taken into consideration when that decision was made by that officer. And he took the view that it did merit cancellation.
That was Commissioner Callanan. Richie Coulhan, you're a retired Special Branch Detective Garda. Listening to that and everything else that has gone before, does it seem credible that this sort of thing happens?
Well, you know, I spent 27 years in the force, and I have, at times, when I was in uniform, met people on the road with extenuating circumstances. They might be driving. They might have no seatbelt on. There could be... I remember one particular case where I stopped this lady who had no seatbelt on. And I looked in the back seat and she had five children who were causing great distraction to her. She was very stressed. And I said, listen, put your seatbelt on, please, and let her go. So, I mean, does it follow on naturally? I mean, I'm very worried with the kind of emotive language that's been used in relation to, you know, corruption, misappropriation, because in every case that you come across while you're investigating, whatever you're investigating, especially summary offences like road traffic, there will always be extenuating circumstances. There will always be reasons to allow that person to go about their way. I'm not saying, but do you call that corruption? Do we really want to live in a police state where you prosecute absolutely everyone with zero tolerance? I can understand, you know, when you look at the statistics here, 2011, 2012, there were 42,700 notices terminated. That's roughly 5%, roughly 5% of all the notices were terminated. Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at that figure again, just over half were terminated. Of those figures, were half were terminated in the fixed charge in the fixed charge processing offices in Thurles. So effectively, 2.2% of the notices were terminated. The point that I'm making is, when you had district officers that were presented with material that written in to by people who were prosecuted, or not prosecuted, but given a fixed charge, he took account of what was in their letter, mm-hmm. and he made a decision whether or not to terminate those.
Okay, Mary Lou McDonald, is that not fair enough?
I think it's absolutely fair that any guard that exercises discretion in the conduct of their duties, their job would be just unmanageable if they didn't enjoy discretion. But a couple of things arise around it. First of all, the definition of that discretion, and secondly, what seems to have happened in these circumstances is that the Garda out on the beat has done his or her job, has found somebody who's speeding or crossing a single white line or whatever, has issued the fine, and then another officer of a different rank, further up the ranks, exercises another discretion to actually write these points off. Now, there are circumstances, and I accept that, you know, an appeal can be made. And in the case of the bees and the livestock, I mean, I know it sounded a bit strange on the face of it, but I can understand that there was corroborating evidence around that. The woman concerned was a beekeeper, and so that was genuine. Mm. The difficulty is that the Comptroller and Auditor General, for instance, found that out of a sample of 25 offences terminated outside the district, so in other words, where a superintendent sought to write off points and wrote off points outside of their immediate district. So, and the Comptroller looked at those, a sample of 25 of them, and in those 25 cases, only in three of those instances was there the supporting documentation to verify absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything had been done by the book. And therein lies the difficulty. Nobody is arguing, God knows, for a police state. Nobody wants that. Nobody's arguing against Garda discretion. But the difficulty that we're faced for is, leave aside what the whistleblowers have come forward with, is that the Comptroller and Auditor General, the financial overseer of the state, has examined matters and has said that there was malpractice. Richie makes the point, and perhaps it's a fair point, that language like corruption and so on conjures up something of a much grander scale in terms of wrongdoing. Mm. But nonetheless, this indicates that there was an extent to which the law applied very rigorously for some citizens, and that margins were given to others. And I don't believe that that is a good thing. And I also think from the point of view, I imagine, of a serving Garda who has done their job, I don't think it's good for them that their authority or their discretion or judgment would be undermined by others, even if those others are of a more senior rank. I don't think that's a good, a good thing to happen.
You've explained very, very well there. And but again, and it's totally correct in what you're saying, but the nub in the issue really was this, is that even when there is a supporting paperwork there, and I know this from my own inquiry, like just from working with Garda officers, that there's no way to establish whether that's the excuses are true or not. Funny enough, with the bees ones, probably with no, without doubt, it's true because it's so wild that no one would make that up. but you know, so that's one issue there. But the other issue about this, and that everyone's forgetting, is there is no way of going back through all of this and discovering what's true and what was untrue. Hmm. And in fairness to Martin Callan, and trust me, he wouldn't be a fan of the Sunday Times at all, he inherited that situation, and they did introduce measures last year to stop that from happening, and it can't happen now. And, you know, it in many ways, I suppose it's the handling. I thought the most interesting part of today's hearings were actually when he was constantly asked, does he consider a guard doing a favour for a friend of his and by deleting penalty points as corruption? And he just simply wouldn't answer. Mm-hmm. It was asked at least four or five times.
Well, I want to bring John Devitt from Transparency International in at this point, and we will debate in great detail the whistleblowers and everything surrounding that issue in a few minutes. But John, I just want to ask you what for you is at the nub of this. I mean, because some people might say it seems like an awful lot of time and effort to be devoting to something which has yielded less than 5% of penalty point notices being quashed. But what for you is at the heart of it?
Well, I go back to John's point there that the commissioner inherited this system, a faulty system. The commissioner was informed of this back in April 2012. Nothing happened for 8 months. He wasn't able to explain today to the committee what happened during that 8 month period. The John also says that there was something of a hornet's nest in the region, Cavan Monaghan region. I've talked to Maurice McCabe. We've been representing the two Gardaí. We've been offering the support and advice for best part of a year and a half now. Maurice informs me that he first went to the confidential recipient in January 2012 to report another matter. He then reported his concerns about systemic abuse of the penalty point system in May of 2012. He didn't get a response from the confidential recipient. It was at that point that he went to Enda Kenny. Enda Kenny then, the Taoiseach's office then passed on the file, the dossier, to the Department of Justice, who had to remind the Garda Commissioner of this, of these allegations. This has been going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. And what it does is point to not just the systemic abuse of Garda records or the authority and the discretion that they have to cancel penalty points, but a deep-seated culture of suspicion towards whistleblowers and bad news, largely because they don't want to have to deal with that bad news. They've targeted two whistleblowers. The commissioner today made threats of disciplinary action against Maurice McCabe if he came before the committee next week. That, I can tell you, is an offence. Under the Garda Síochána Act 2005, Garda members are entitled to go to members of the Oireachtas. They're entitled to discuss these allegations in front of the Public Accounts Committee. And any attempt by any member of an Garda Síochána to silence them is an offence under the Garda Regulations of 2007. There is a bigger problem at stake here, not just the cancellation of penalty points, but this goes to the commitment. This raises a question about the commitment of an Garda Síochána to enforcing the rule of law.
Well, and we've put that question. Our reporter Richie Byrne has been out talking to some people in Dublin City Centre today and asking them if this controversy has impacted on their confidence in the Gardaí.
I'd say a lot of the senior ones are probably allowing their friends off in the system. I don't think the younger guys are doing it because they're only out of Templemore.
Has it changed your opinions on the guards?
Yes, it would. I think it isn't right. Why should there be one rule for one lad and another rule for others?
Has it angered you?
Yeah. Some poor creature could go down and have maybe one or two pints or whatever, or, and when he goes to going home, they're there waiting to catch him, you know, and then they let some of their own friends off. That's not right.
Do you think it's the start of something more?
I'd say so. I'd say they're getting away with a lot more.
So you're not a big fan of the guards then?
No, not at the moment, no. And thank God they can't see me.
As a personal response, I committed the cardinal error of not slowing down in a 30-mile-an-hour limit quickly enough in Limerick, and I received a penalty. For 2 or 3 years I had the penalty points and I had to pay a fine. I resent the fact that I, not knowing anyone and not been having access to friends or relations in the force, had to cough up, and I did so, and yet others can escape it.
Would it change your perception of the Gardaí?
It does, yes.
Yes, I think that's very important, and I think once you lose good opinion of people, it's very difficult to get it back.
And the other final point is, I have to say that the whole treatment of the people who have spilled the beans has been outrageous. There's no other way around it. Had the Gardaí been quick and responsive to the initial complaints, I don't think all of this would have arisen.
But whistleblowers do need protection, I think, and they should legislate.
I just feel really sorry for them. With all this going on, I'd say they probably will get a bad name for themselves, because what's good for the goose is good for the gander, you know, so...
Well, as a person that had 2 points up until the 1st of this month, I feel very sick about it, because I paid me fine, got me penalty point. I didn't look for nor ask anyone to do anything about it. Done the crime, I paid the fine, and that's it. I don't think anyone should be allowed to get away with it. Everyone should be treated the same. I think it's about time this country woke up.
Would this change your perception of the Gardaí?
No, because the rank and file Gardaí are doing the job. I know if I was a guard and I was looking at that, I'd feel sick. But as I heard on the radio this morning, someone going to look after his bees, I mean, that's a bit ridiculous. He's a beekeeper and he keeps bees. And I heard it on the radio this morning. This guy got his penalty points wiped because he went home. His wife phoned him and said the bees were causing trouble in the back garden. Christ almighty.
Christ almighty. That was the view in Dublin City Centre this afternoon. Richie, what do you say to that? I mean, that perception there by a lot of people in the Gardaí, it's not great.
There is a perception there, obviously, and probably rightly so, the way that it's being reported on. But the reality on the ground is really that, and in the 27 years that I served, any indiscretions by Gardaí was dealt with on the spot, whether it was by a senior officer or colleagues. There were people that I worked with that were wrongdoers within the job. They were dealt with. They were dealt with very severely.
What's your view on whistleblowers?
I think they're important. Important. However, there are mechanisms within the force whereby you can go to a superior officer, you can make a charge of complaint about any indiscretions, any wrongdoings, any corruptions. And I have been party to one or two of those in relation to fellow members.
But you heard John Devitt there going through what Maurice McCabe and John Wilson did in this instance.
Well,
didn't seem to get anywhere.
You know, I mean, I take John's point. There are, you know, we don't know the full story. And obviously the commissioner hasn't come out with the full story. But, you know, are there ulterior motives in relation to this particular whistleblowing? I mean, I don't know. But I mean, there are several, you know, there are several issues surrounding this whole case. I accept that whistleblowers are very necessary in today's society. Within the guards, though, there are plenty of opportunity for you to highlight and to bring before the senior members of the force. And in my experience over 27 years, it is thoroughly investigated. And I honestly do take exception sometimes to people saying that, you know, perhaps the guards aren't the right people to investigate themselves. I mean, you have a law society here in Ireland where barristers are investigated by themselves as well. I have to say that the integrity of the force is intact, and it has always been intact. And I do take exception when people say you can't investigate within the force, because any investigations that I've ever encountered and seen carried out were carried out to the full letter of the law.
Okay.
And carried out vigorously to get rid of any indiscretions.
The motive is irrelevant in this case, and the motive under the law is irrelevant. The fact is that under the Criminal Justice Act 2011, which governs the reporting of fraud, they are obliged to report misrepresentation, which would cause loss to the taxpayer. That's the definition, common law definition of fraud. They were obliged to report as soon as they were made aware of these concerns. They didn't have to be material witnesses either. So long as they had access to information which was indicative of a criminal offence, they had an obligation to report. In 2005, Michael McDougall, who was then Justice Minister, legislated for police reform and rose out of the findings of the Morris Tribunal report. That allowed Gardaí to report firstly to a confidential recipient and then, if they got nowhere with the confidential recipient, as they did not, to go to a member of the Oireachtas and a list of other public sector agencies.
But John Devitt, in John O'Mahony's report, Assistant Commissioner's report last year, his report was scathing of the whistleblowers. The report said, and I quote, "When the cases cited are fully examined, the anonymous author's assertions fall far short of the actual facts in each and every case."
I think the Assistant Commissioner's findings were largely reflective of the allegations made by the whistleblowers in the first place. I've never understood either the Assistant Commissioner's or the Commissioner's statements that either the activities or the behaviour of these whistleblowers was disgusting, or there was no merit to the allegations. Fact is that four files have been presented to the DPP arising from this case. The Commissioner today put up his hands up and said, mea culpa, the system was wrong. We wouldn't know about this unless we heard about it from the two whistleblowers. It was going on until February, March of 2013.
But there have been, and I think it's just important to note, and it's beyond question now there's a problem with the penalty point system, but they have made other allegations that have been completely found to be unfounded and have done all sorts of things.
I don't think that is the case.
Well, so. I'm sorry, actually, it is. At one stage, I was threatened to be charged myself with a complaint made by one of them.
You're saying that the two were making unfounded allegations.
No, what I'm saying is that there have been allegations made by those officers regarding other matters which aren't in the public domain.
Yes, and these have been fully investigated.
They've been investigated by the guards. Files have been sent to the EPP. These are quite serious allegations. At one stage, there was an allegation of false imprisonment made against an assistant commissioner. Again, there was a file put on that. There was no truth to it whatsoever.
Audrey, could I just intervene here? You see, John gives this information. I have no way. I'm not doubting it. I don't know.
No, I suppose what I'm trying to make.
Can I make this point? I know you're giving it by way of context. We need to be careful here, though. Certainly, I'm on the committee before which the commissioner and his colleagues were today. So far as I am concerned, as a member of the Oireachtas, those other issues, though interesting, are not actually relevant to the thing that we have in play here. The first bit is around the writing off of penalty points. And leave the whistleblowers aside, as I have said, the Comptroller and Auditor General has proven beyond dispute, I don't think anybody is going to gainsay him on it, that there was more than just a quirk in the system, that there were people acting outside procedures. And at the very least, there was cases of maladministration. And he couldn't find the corroborating evidence for writing these penalties.
You're 100% absolutely correct.
So that's issue number one, John. Issue number two, and for me, I suppose, the more troubling issue, if I'm to be frank, is the question mark now around the treatment of these whistleblowers. Because we've two conflicting sets of information. On the one hand, the commissioner today was quite insistent that he knew nothing about these whistleblowers or their claims until December of 2012. The whistleblowers are quite insistent that the complaints were made not anonymously, they attached their names to them, that it was quite a comprehensive set of complaints. They waited for a Garda management response. Nothing happened, so they went to the Comptroller and Auditor General, the Road Safety Authority, the Department of Taoiseach, the Department of Transport, and so on and so forth. Now, I can't square that circle, but I can say this. I think it would be a matter of the gravest concern if there is even a suggestion that whistleblowers within An Garda Síochána are either stonewalled or punished or ignored or vilified. Right. That is a really big
Mary Lou,
problem.
Let me tell you something. I've dealt with allegations of police corruption for about 15 years now, and I've been involved in some of the heavier stuff in the past decade. I was a witness in the Morris Tribunal and other matters of my recent years. Guards that do make allegations and can come across problems within the force, corruption flourishes in pockets. It's not we don't have a corrupt police force. You get problems within units because of the type of work they're involved in. Officers not being properly supervised, etc., etc. And these things happen. But there's always traditionally been a problem in elements of the guards who, if an officer says something about a fellow officer or uncovers something about someone who maybe is involved in wrongdoing, that's the way the state has always worked. And it just doesn't happen in the guards. It happens in the military.
Listen, Jasper, but can I just say this and then I will stop talking? I accept that this isn't a problem unique to the Gardaí.
Yeah.
It would be great if it were, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Life would be simpler. That is not the case. However, the Gardaí discharge very particular duties, and the trust that is required for them to successfully go about their job is of the utmost importance. So notwithstanding what might be happening anywhere else, I'm saying to you, and looking at the matter objectively and trying to get to the bottom of the facts, objectively speaking, we have a problem here because whistleblowers are contending and have contended now consistently for some period of time that there was a difficulty, that they had no confidence in the internal system, and that is why they resorted to outside agencies. I don't believe, and I listened very carefully and very respectfully to what the Commissioner had to say today, it still left me very concerned and, let me just say, absolutely convinced at this stage that we do need to hear from the whistleblowers before the committee, because we need that completeness of information.
Okay.
And I think the public want that at this stage. They want this matter, some finality or some conclusion arrived in respect of these things.
Richie Collins.
Well, just there are a number of things. When you take 2.2% of fixed charges that have, been terminated, I mean, that is a very, very small percentage of the overall total of fixed charges that have been. Now, that's one issue. The other issue that the commissioner and his officers find themselves in a very, very difficult position, because what you have on the one hand is you have two or three men in the force who obviously have come forward and have given information in relation to what they perceived as wrongdoings coming forward. He is responsible for the discipline within An Garda Síochána. He has the sole right to discipline his men, not in relation to their whistleblowing. But having said that, I mean, there are other issues here. You have the issue whereby a member of the force can go in and take information from the pulse system and discuss it with, outside agencies. And, in actual fact, the security of the state is at stake here.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in a very, very difficult position in that he has to ensure that his force and the men that he's responsible for perform their duties and perform their duties in a disciplined way.
Okay.
And maybe they are in breach of discipline. That will be decided.
John,
because there is a code of conduct that you have to conform to.
And it's a code of conduct as well that the commissioner is subject to. They have a duty under Section 19 of the Criminal Justice Act to report fraud. They're also protected by the Garda Síochána Act and the Criminal Justice Act against any penalisation or reprisal. I just to come back to your point about the number of fixed charge notices that were cancelled. I was listening to the testimony and of the commissioner today, cross examination. As far as I'm aware, 10,000 cases or where were cancelled last year. That's much more than 2%. I think that's around 20% of cases.
Well, no, I was looking at the figures for 2011, 2012, which amounted to 2.2% when you looked at the overall figure.
Well, I don't think they've actually gone up. I think that it was around 20% of cases that were cancelled.
Well, that was taken from the Auditor General's report in that time.
The point is that there were the Controller and Auditor General said there was a cause for concern in relation to the management of these fixed charge notices. And the fact that so many were cancelled without due or proper procedure. I mean, we come back to the whole issue of the bees. I mean, there have been a number of cases revealed by members of the Oireachtas. I think Claire Daly some time ago talked about how a male motorist was let off because he was pregnant, according to the Garda inspector. There was clear misrepresentation. There were a large number of motorists who were repeat offenders who had their penalty points cancelled. It's called into question the whole integrity of the penalty points system and called into question the credibility of the Gardaí. And just go back to John's point as well about previous false reports. The Garda Síochána Conn Act makes it very clear that it's a criminal offence to knowingly make a false report. If they'd made a knowingly false report, then they should have been prosecuted. They should have been disciplined. They weren't. And when one starts to question the motives and the credibility of the whistleblower, you find yourself on a slippery slope. There is.
But do you not have to question at some point? Do you not have to question the motive?
You have to question the veracity of the information that's presented by the whistleblower, not the motive of the whistleblower. I've absolutely no doubt, having talked to these two Gardaí for the past year and a half, that they acted out of the best interests of the Garda Síochána Conn Act and in the public interest. I don't believe they were driven by any.
Okay, well, let's hear what Martin Callanan had to say about the two men: the John Wilson, who's a retired Garda, the other Garda still serving in the Midlands, Maurice McCabe. And Martin Callanan was scathing about them to the committee.
Quite clearly, here we have two people out of a force of over 13,000 who are making extraordinarily serious allegations. And there isn't a whisper anywhere else from any other member of the Garda Síochána Conn Act about this corruption, this malpractice, and all of those things that are levelled against their fellow officers. Frankly, I think it's quite disgusting.
And he wasn't happy to be told that the PAC would be questioning the whistleblowers next week.
I should have an opportunity to deal with this situation and make very cogent arguments, if that's what the committee would require of me to make, in advance of people coming in here. And let's put our cards on the table, Chair. Airing matters that I won't say they're pursuing a particular agenda, but may very well be misguided in terms of the state of the information they feel they have.
And that's why I'm
not for a moment, Chairman, suggesting that everything they're saying, that there aren't elements within that that aren't in accordance with policy and procedures. That may very well be the case. But where you have members of my force coming in making very serious accusations of a criminal nature against my officers, then that is an extremely serious matter, a matter that should be dealt with by either myself, by other fora, and I think if there are such matters of such serious criminal nature, the Director of Public Prosecution should be involved. There are clear obligations on the people who are making these accusations, Chairman, and I'm only repeating myself, I know that.
Well, that's why I raise it with you, Commissioner. We pass the information because we have had it, and just so you know what the committee is looking at, that's only fair. And the committee haven't decided as yet in relation to public or private session. That's a matter we will deal with next week. Haven't heard your evidence today. So it will come back on the agenda for next Thursday.
Clearly, Chairman, clearly, I will have to take legal advice and take whatever action that I feel is appropriate to protect the Garda Síochána Conn Act, not, as people might interpret, to circle the wagons, but there is a very fundamental principle here, and that is the direction and control of the organisation. And, you know, people will be aware, and it's a matter of public record, on how I do my business and how this man beside me, Assistant Commissioner Mahoney, do our business. We have, and I've said this in the past, we have both been involved in investigations where we sent our colleagues to jail. Not a very pleasant exercise, I can assure everyone sitting in this room. We've had an occasion where one of our own colleagues' wives collapsed in front of us when he was sent to jail. So no one can point the finger at me and say that I won't take firm action if I have any hint of wrongdoing. So it's not a question of acting in a particular way to suit my particular circumstance. It's about fairness, and fairness to the organisation, and fairness to the control and discipline that requires to be intact within an Garda Síochána.
That was Garda Commissioner Martin Callanan. John Mooney, do you think it's a case of the Gardaí circling the wagons?
I think they do, and I think they did the beginning with this, and I think they're paying for that quite substantially at the moment. I think they would have been far better off to say there was a weakness in the system and they tightened it up, but of course they didn't. I think Alan Shatter played a huge role in this, in his comments on the plinth outside the Dáil, which I know I was one of the journalists there listening to this. I found astonishing some of the comments he was making. I thought it was just wrong, particularly as a justice minister. They shouldn't really act like that. The problem with this, it's almost gone too far. There's lots of issues arising from the penalty points affair. There's no one doubting now that there's a problem with the penalty points, but that is actually, to a degree, that problem has now been resolved. It, of course, won't get the money back that's been lost, but it's an impossible investigation to do. It's just one of these things that happened. But I think now we're into a different scenario where you have the PAC, which has in effect become the conscience of the state. It represents the people now. It sits twice a week. You know, Mary Lou and esteemed deputies have become sort of household names, and very much their efforts are so much appreciated by the public and the media and everyone else, because they're asking questions that we're all thinking. And I've been, I have to say, pleasantly astonished by the line of questioning, just how good some people are on it. But it's developed into something else. It's developed into now kind of almost a battle between PAC wanting to bring witnesses who were from the force and a Garda commissioner who's into a situation with his eye on other balls that may emerge or come out, you know, problems that may emerge in the future, and saying, do I allow two officers to go in and address the PAC? And what precedent is this going to set? Because what else is going to come in where we'll have people? Because, you know, there are quite serious issues there. I have to say, as a journalist, I was astonished because it's not just files and penalty points are being downloaded. There's lots of other stuff that's been taken. And there was never a kind of an effort really to deal with that. And it's some of the ancillary issues, which, you know, which involve deaths and everything else with killings and that kind of thing, that they were allowing this to happen. So I think that there's an issue now where he is kind of in a situation where he's dealing with two individuals that have taken possession of documents that quite clearly shouldn't have. But, you know, for various reasons, some of which are very much in the public interest and others which aren't. I'm not sure the guards are going to sit back and allow a situation to develop where officers can walk in and disclose documents. Because what's the difference between documents on penalty points and, say, issues of state security?
John David.
Well, I mean, crime correspondents routinely get information off the pulse system, are routinely briefed by senior Gardaí and detectives. And the biggest source of leaks in the Gardaí are senior management in the Gardaí.
Really?
We
don't go out and deal with other people. As someone who spent most of the week up in the border dealing with smugglers and everyone else.
For much of their information.
Are you a crime journalist or something? Because I can tell you now, you can go through my phone.
I've talked to enough crime correspondents to know
Let me dispel that myth. Guards generally don't ring journalists with stories. I'm, for one, if you speak to my editor, the biggest problem they have is tracking me, insofar as that I'm off dealing with all sorts of people. And if you're lucky, you'll get a break. I can tell you now, the amount of times that guards have leaked stuff to me, you could count on one
hand. Where did the press get information on Mick Wallace's penalty points? I mean, we'd be curious to know how they're
from
getting
Alan Shatter, didn't he announce it on primetime?
And it was presented, the information was given to him by.
But he's the Minister of Justice. He's entitled to the Garda Commissioner.
Yeah, but that's not a journalist.
It is not unusual to find crime correspondents getting leads or tips from.
Okay,
of the Garda.
John David, do you think the PAC is the correct place for the two whistleblowers to be questioned?
I think they have every right, a legal right, to make a presentation to the Public Accounts Committee, and they have a right to discuss their concerns with members of the Oireachtas or other state agencies for responsibility for
this. Can you see the issue for Martin Callanan in that? In fairness, and I'm not disagreeing with you, because I'm really down the middle on that, because There's obviously very, very serious public importance issues here to be debated, but there's also a just known sort of access that information that guards in certain, and it depends on the unit and rank and everything else. But there are other issues that are equally important in regarding the disclosure of information on all sorts of issues and whether that's right. And like, again, you know, as a journalist, and I very much certainly the Sunday Times takes a view that we do respect people's privacy in that, and I know most people do, they take that view, that, you know, there is also the issue that, you know, you have vast quantities of documents, and you're from Transparency International. I presume you've an issue with officers downloading and circulating documents on private transactions with the state.
I have an issue with any information being abused or sold on, as has often been the case in the civil service.
But in terms of the stuff that has been distributed between various different people, what is your view of that?
The information that was downloaded off the Pulse system, printed and shared with Oliver Connolly, the confidential recipient, senior Gardaí, and members of the Oireachtas.
Do you not think it was circulated to other people?
I've absolutely no doubt that the information was shared through the proper channels.
You may end up eating your words in that. Do you not think that that information was circulated to anyone who would read it?
By whom?
By various people who may have taken it.
By the whistleblowers themselves.
You don't think they leaked anything to any journalists?
I'm absolutely certain that they went through the proper procedures through Oliver Connolly, the confidential recipient.
I have to ask this again. I just want to clarify. Are you saying that you don't believe that any of those documents were circulated to journalists prior to all this?
I have no idea.
You didn't say that 5 seconds ago, John.
I'm absolutely certain that the whistleblower, and I've been talking to Maurice McCabe this evening, went to Oliver Connolly, the confidential recipient. He then went to Enda Kenny. He went to the Controller and Auditor General, to the Road Safety Authority.
And you're not thinking...
And information
do you not believe that those documents and other documents on all sorts of matters were released left, right and centre to anyone who wanted to read them?
By whom? You're alleging here that the two whistleblowers broke the law by sharing information with journalists.
No, I'm asking you, if I can put it this way, do you believe that there was documents?
I don't believe they did.
Can I just say, and I think perhaps we're straying slightly from the point, Audrey asked the question, is the PAC the right forum in which these matters should be raised? The truth is that we became involved in this issue on the basis of revenue, or at that stage, potential loss of revenue to the state. But the committee looks at a number of things very routinely, and it doesn't get the kind of media flurry that associated with this. And they are around, obviously, the money trail, efficient spending of money, keeping an eye out for waste and so on, but also around matters of good governance. And that's really where this whistleblowing bit fits in. Because if you are to say that you have the proper controls, the proper accountability mechanisms, that by definition has to include a robust system of protections for whistleblowers. And we have a real issue here now, where in the midst of all of this discussion, we have uncovered a situation whereby whistleblowers, and they haven't been asked by the committee to come forward, they have voluntarily stated that they wish to come forward to the committee to give an account of their experiences. The commissioner, let it be said, used every opportunity at committee to speak at quite some length in respect of the whistleblowers. Now, I would take the view, as a matter of fairness and as a matter of getting the complete information, I think the whistleblowers should come before our committee. That is not to say that there would be an open door to the PAC for Gardaí, the length and breadth of the state, if they were so minded. It would not be within our remit. And also bear in mind, there is a code of conduct and there is a discipline that Richie refers to within the Garda Síochána, which I believe is legitimate because they have a job to do. Okay. But we're dealing here with whistleblowers who, irrespective of everything else, spotted a problem, reported a problem, saw no action, according to themselves, took other avenues and channels. And as a result, at the very least, Minister Shatter has been a lot less than flattering of these men. And to use words like disgusting, I mean, Well, I think a strong language, very strong language from the Commission. So I think the men need to have that forum.
In relation to the forum that's been used, I don't think it's the right forum. I really don't. I think that there are sufficient checks and balances within the investigation unit and the investigation within on Garda Síochána to investigate something like this. And maybe some people feel that. But, you know, following on from a loss of revenue, I mean, you could take every judge in the country who uses his discretion in a court of law and take him before the PAC.
We've only got 6 minutes issue. Left, and I have another tape to introduce. I also have a
rationale.
We also have a text in from
courts are public forums.
John Wilson, who we were 100% sure, nearly 100% sure, is the whistleblower, and he has a question for you, Richie, and I'll put it to you after we play this tape. It's from our regular contributor, the author and comedian Colm O'Regan. He's been examining this issue and wondering about the role of the whistleblower in this country.
History in fifth class in primary school was a grim subject. Our headmaster was of the old set, determined to school us in the perfidy of Albion all the way from Dermot McMurrough's fateful dowry right up to the various ambushes and flying columns. Unfortunately, you can't study the Irish struggle against the English without all the woe. It was like watching EastEnders. Each rebellion would have initial success, but you knew that was just a prelude to disaster, a combination of bad luck, incompetent continentals, and poor leadership usually did for the Irish, and of course, the spies. We knew all the rebellions, Battle of Kinsale, poor leadership, Spaniards, storms, 1798, more storms, the French, poor leadership, spies, 1867, poor leadership, snow, spies. There was always a spy in the camp. We were traumatised by it. By sixth class, no one was telling tales on anyone. Eventually, Michael Collins shot the spies, and the pain was over. It was like Munster's first Heineken Cup, and everyone grew up with an awareness of spies. So in this atmosphere, it's not an easy country to be a whistleblower. Obviously, it depends on your target. The poor are easy. If you're telling the Department of Social Protection about your one who's on the single parents, but your man is around every night of the week, that's different. Imagine how difficult it is to whistleblow in the Guards, with the chain of command, the sense of loyalty, the individual subsumed into the needs of the group. Even the pack men and pack women were a different force today when facing the Guards. It must be the uniforms. Commissioner Callanan was properly flanked by his colleagues. Contrast that with the previous week, when the people from the CRC and Irish Water may have been sitting next to each other, but they certainly weren't flanking their colleagues. I wonder were the Guards staring across at the PAC, picturing them in a quarry breaking stones, until their mental image was replaced by the thought of a man frantically trying to prevent bees from worrying cattle. Commissioner Callanan says complaints are being made by so-called whistleblowers. For him, it's about discipline, unity. We can't have the enemy within. But we need whistleblowers. Some of our best stuff has come from whistleblowers like Tom Gilmartin and James Gogarty in the Mahon Tribunal. I don't care whether motives are pure or due to being disgruntled. It doesn't matter. The whistleblower cuts through the fog that surrounds any large organisation. They have the magic keys to the secret doors. Given the state of Irish Water and the CRC, there's definitely enough acting the maggot going on all the time to justify having whistleblowers. But how do you strike a balance between being motivated to report wrongdoing and not making it a looper's charter? There has to be protection without encouraging mischief makers. Do we have a whistleblower's charter? And seeing as we have the whistle, do we have good referees?
And that was Colm O'Regan with his thoughts on this issue. We're 100% sure that it is John Wilson, the whistleblower, who has texted the programme. And he says this is not about discretion, and he addresses this to you, Richie. He says these allegations are about corrupt practices. No Garda showed more discretion than I did during my career. Ask Richie Culhan if he ever had penalty points wiped for himself.
I did.
Under
circumstances, I was actually on duty and I was working and I was going to the scene of a very serious incident when I was serving as a detective. I presently have...
Who wiped those points?
I applied to the local district officer to have the points because, and he found that I was indeed, in fact, working at the time, and I was going to a very serious incident in the line of duty. I presently have two penalty points that I have received, unfortunately, which I've paid the fine, and I accept absolutely not. Okay. It's up to the discretion of a district officer, when he decides on whether or not penalty points are you know, terminated.
Legitimate or not. Mary Lou McDonald, just reflecting on today and the Garda Commissioner there, and it was quite a sight, all the uniforms there in the room. Were you cowed by them in any way?
No, and we've had the commissioner before us previously, and it was a very courteous but a very robust exchange. And we're there to do a job. This isn't about anything personal with anybody who presents themselves before the committee, certainly so far as I'm concerned. And I think that's the case with all of the members. And our job is to watch the money trail, watch the governance trail, and where issues arise, We have to deal with them. We have this issue now, and we need to hear from the whistleblowers.
And so will that be next Thursday?
They're due next Thursday. Certainly, one of them is due next Thursday. My preference would be that his account would be heard in public session. But obviously, we will have to consider that matter as a committee, and consider all of the elements around that, not least any legal constraints or legal considerations.
All right. Well, look, thank you all very much indeed for coming in to take part in our programme tonight. Mary Lou McDonald, Richie Culhan, John Devitt and John Mooney. We're back on Tuesday night at 10 o'clock. Till then, from all of us, have a lovely weekend.
The Late Debate is presented by Audrey Carville. The broadcast coordinator is Maeve Mooney. Research is by Richie Byrne. Kevin McCluskey was on sound. And the producer of the programme is Donal O'Herlihy.